Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
He's great.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball, and my sinus infection is just about gone. Like, I'm occasionally coughing, and I still sound a little stuffy, but for the most part, I'm good, and I'm feeling way better, which makes me really happy.
That's the important part.
That is the important part. Mandy not doing better, doing way worse. She's at the height of, like, your sinuses trying to explode inside your face.
I avoided that this year, but I got a consolation prize of awesome Arby's food poisoning.
It's very rarely food poisoning from where you think it's from. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, well, that's not good, because then it would have been my place of work, and that would have been substantially worse.
Honestly, more likely.
Well, that's not good. That food goes to a lot of people. So I'm going to bank it on Arby's.
I mean, or you could have just gotten the one bad piece of chicken.
That's fair.
Which is, I mean, if I'm gonna trust one over the other, I'm gonna take Arby's over a school cafeteria.
Fair enough.
But
I was dying last week.
It's fair.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's a sinus infection though.
Asa, how you been this week?
I'm fine.
All right. Well,
and really, sinus infection hits me like every other year. Like it's not annual. Like it's just. At least every other year, like, I just get knocked on my butt from a sinus infection, and it's always, always a terrible time. On to nerdy stuff, though. Enough of our ailments. We got a teaser for the HBO Watchmen show. So, very much looks like it's based after the movie, which we were wondering, like, if it was going to be just a TV show going through the comic book, or if it was going to be based on other material, because I don't think we knew that until now. If we did, I didn't. We got to see, so I guess spoilers now for the, 30-year-old book?
No. No.
40. No, 30.
Oh, see, 40. Now we got to put the spoiler alert on it.
If there's no spoiler warning for Watchmen.
Yeah.
No.
There was a movie.
No, that's what I was going to say.
And the movie's like 10 years old, isn't it?
Because I was half worried about spoiling, and then I was like, no. The movie's been out now for over a decade.
For 10 years, yeah. No, that...
Even when we talk about the Spider-Man trailer, I'm a little kind of like,
Because they lifted the spoiler ban, we didn't.
Yeah, the Russos straight up said, and at a certain point, we have to be able to openly talk about the next upcoming movie.
Yeah.
Right. This week, we won't spoil the big spoiler thing in the Far From Home trailer.
But when we talk about it next week.
But the next time you hear us talking about it.
But spoiler alert, Spider-Man has a movie coming out.
So back, more on that later. For now, Watchmen. So yeah, we got to see. So memory refresher for people that don't really care about Watchmen. End of the movie, Rorschach dies. Turns out this is entirely, like, the entire thing is a scheme by Ozymandias to unite the world against a common foe. And it goes back to the themes of the era of, like, do the ends justify the means, et cetera, et cetera. And Rorschach had a journal of the whole thing because he figured it out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he got that information out there. So now it looks like in the show we have a straight up like Rorschach cult. And because of Rorschach, the everything Ozymandias did was for nothing. And all those people died for nothing.
Whoops.
Yeah, I have watched the teaser itself was super cool.
Yeah,
like, I dug the hell out of it. Like, I watched
TikTok.
It.
TikTok.
Tick,
tock,
tick,
tock.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That was super cool.
And just like, I don't get what Don Johnson's role is. I can't tell if he's a good guy or a bad guy. I can't tell what anything is going on at all. But as soon as that teaser ended, I rewatched it. Just like immediately. You know, because I don't know. There's just something. And I don't even like Watchmen that much. Like, I enjoyed Watchmen quite a bit. But yeah it was just like, I'm like, all right, I want to see where this goes. Will it fall apart like midway through episode one? Possibly. But I'm curious.
Yeah.
And that's like the most that I can say for it. Like that, like I want to know what happens.
Yeah, I mean, HBO has like, they're batting above 500 at least with a track record here for, you know, TV shows. So I'm curious. Like I'm definitely interested in watching this.
Mm-hmm.
The teaser was perfect in that like I feel thoroughly teased. Because yes. I have no idea what's going on, but I'm a fan.
Was the old dude Ozymandias?
It seemed like it.
Kind of looked like he was, but yeah.
So, like, how, like, is this modern day then? Like, because obviously this happened back, like, Dalton, I need you to check the date on me, because I'm pretty sure that Watchmen was 80s. and that's when the book takes place.
I'm pretty sure it's 80s because the comedian dealt with the Vietnam War.
Right. And they also, like, there's a Reagan theme to it.
Yeah,
and,
I'm pretty sure it is. But then again, every book in that time had had a Reagan theme.
Which,
yeah, and the movie was legit, was 2009, yeah. So it definitely was 10 years ago.
All right, I'm in a setting here. 1980s, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was pretty sure, but I wasn't
Wait a minute.
Positive.
Alternate. The contemporary world in 1980s, the primary difference is the presence of superheroes. The point of divergence occurs in 1938, so it's...
But it takes place in the 80s. 80s, but
yeah. Yes. Sorry, I was just reading. I saw a different date, and I wanted to make sure I wasn't talking out my tail.
Because obviously the superheroes definitely played a huge role in like the difference of history, mm-hmm. but everything before like the appearance of superheroes is the same as our era, or our timeline. But yeah, either way, this one looks like it's taking place in modern day, so like years after, like over 30 years since Rorschach's book was found and all the people in New York died. I think it was New York. Boy, it's been a while since I've read or watched that movie.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Cause I know in the comic book, he dropped a big old dead alien on it.
and in the movie, they made it make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
The comic book made perfect sense. They just would have had to add a whole subplot of a guy washed up on shore and
being the survivor of like the alien, the creation of the alien, because Ozymandias had everybody that worked on it killed,
mm-hmm.
And then just dropping it on New York. But either way, that's not the point. The point is, all those people in New York died, and then Rorschach's journal kind of ruined it all.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Rorschach was just straight up going to tell everybody, and that's when Dr. Manhattan just blew him apart.
Yeah, atomized him.
Yeah. Because at that point, like
those Marvel people thought they got off hard.
Because that is one of my favorite lines just in comic books of just the, no, this is already done.
Right. I wouldn't tell you my plan if it wasn't already.
Right.
Happened.
Like,
yeah.
What do you think I am? Some kind of like, I don't know, like mm-hmm. there's something about Villa. But yeah, just the, no, this is already done.
This happened 30 minutes ago.
Right.
Like, why would I? I did appreciate that. My favorite part of Watchmen was when Dr. Manhattan had a threesome with himself.
That was funny.
Yeah. I
Not my favorite part, but yeah.
That's a funny part.
That was really funny.
No, whenever he put the dude's face in the boiling grease, Rorschach did. Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
I don't think he put his face in. He just smacked him with.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah. He just, because he, yeah.
Yeah, he
you're
pulled
right.
out like the fries and just like, wham.
I think because
that
think
was
at
after
that
the
point,
one of the, probably the most famous or one of the most famous lines from it.
I'm not locked in here with you.
You're
locked
in here
with
me.
He cut the one dude's arms off of the from the bars like he was reaching over the bar in the dumbest move
of every B level terrible action movie. Ripping that line off.
All right. So anyway, moving on from Watchmen. Now, I am excited about this show. We don't have a release date or anything for it.
The teaser looks super cool.
TikTok. Mm-hmm. TikTok. We got a Batman versus TMNT opening scene.
So also super awesome.
I didn't watch it because I just want to watch all of it. Because I knew like if I saw it, I would just be like, okay, now where is the remaining hour and a half?
Yeah. No, I desperately want the remaining hour and a half.
So.
No
sense in starting the engine if you're not going to drive anywhere.
I like that.
Please
that
use that
good.
For Hype Train.
That was good. I mean, it'll be a while before Hype Train again. We might forget about this entirely.
I will text it in that group chat every day.
But that's the whole point of Hype Train.
Fair. Anyway, so yeah, we got the Batman vs. TMNT opening. And we basically, most of it was just us getting to see, we got to see Barbara Gordon. And she's quite the little BA.
Do they have to stretch out the length so they have her and Batman hook up for no reason?
No, it's her and Leo this time.
Oh, April's going to be mad.
The turtles show up real early. We do get to see a little bit of the turtles, and we get to see Barbara talking to, or Batgirl talking to Batman about the turtles, and then that's the end of it.
I thought you said Batgirl, and I was like, wait, what? What is this?
Who that? By the way, no, I'm hyped for this movie. This looks super fun. I really, really want to watch it. So we got Michael Rooker is in talks to play King Shark in The Suicide Squad. I made the mistake of not putting that that "the" in the pre-show.
Well, yeah. Well, how else would you know which movie you're talking about?
the Suicide Squad.
I will say that casting really does make me think that James Gunn's just sleeper agenting all this. He's like, no, I'm going to tank it. I'm going to be the one that puts the final nail in the coffin.
Of DC?
Yeah.
That movie's still going to make a buttload
then
of
he
money.
Would yeah, be, it is. Yeah. Then he would be casting terrible people, not the best people.
No, he's going to trust those people to tank it for him.
No.
You're stupid. You're I know, but it's an opinion and it's a joke, but it's both of them are bad.
The problem is, like I say, the problem with that the problem with that thought process is that there is no way this movie doesn't make money.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's the especially like
the bad movie made money.
The atrocious movie made a dumb amount of money.
And now it's like, look, no, we're actually trying on this one. So maybe it will bomb. Like, the first one burned so much goodwill that, like, nobody wants to see the second one.
They'll be really upset when they hear, like, when they finally learn that, like, the people that were super fans mm-hmm. of the first one, when they learn that this is rebooting it. Because I know, like,
all those super edgy con kids are going to realize Jared Leto's not in it and just boycott it.
My niece really likes Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm. How old's your niece?
Not old enough to watch Suicide Squad.
That wasn't the joke I was going to. I just needed the age to be like, oh, well, she just doesn't know better.
Oh, she doesn't.
All right, good.
And she shouldn't have watched that movie in the first place.
I'm assuming Uncle Jesse didn't take her to that one.
No. No, he didn't. Neither did her dad.
Oh, no.
She went on her own.
No.
Got a bus.
Marcus.
She was determined.
Warenberg wasn't carding that day. Your niece is the reason that it's Marcus
she's
now.
She's a huge Slipknot fan. She had
he
to
can
see
climb
that
walls really fast.
Importantly, the character, not the band. If
Why
for anybody
not
that didn't get that joke.
I mean, if she went to the movie, she might as well be a Slipknot
she's a
fan.
She's a little kid. She thought it was about the band. It's like, who's this not dude? Get out.
That nobody's heard about in like a decade.
I do hope that James Gunn opens the second movie the exact same way.
That would be really
like,
funny.
And also on the team, Slipknot.
But he makes it immediately. Makes it the entire way. Be like, man, he's going to make it the entire movie and then dies.
He ends up being the main protagonist. The Suicide Squad reboot is just a vehicle for Slipknot.
Oh, God.
And you know who's going to do the end credits theme? Saliva.
I appreciate that joke.
I hate you so much because I started saying it with you.
So anyway, going back to the actual news here, Michael Rooker is in talks to play King Shark.
Is awesome. I will watch him in anything, like, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, thanks to Guardians, too.
Yeah.
Guardians 1.
No, yeah, he was like, fantastic. And rewatching Guardians 1, knowing what happens in Guardians 2 with Yondu,
mm-hmm.
just, oh my God, it made it so much better.
It really does.
And
even like his brief little stint in The Walking Dead, like even though his character was like the most unlikable human being, which that was the point, but
I didn't watch any of it. So.
Michael Rooker, real good.
Michael Rooker is really good. And I think that he'd do just fine as King Shark.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope I don't think that James Gunn is just going to make him look like Yondu.
I feel like this is going to be a strictly VO performance by Michael Rooker.
I would also think that, but DC and Warner Brothers.
James Gunn.
DC and Warner Brothers.
Their last three movies have been solid.
They have
skewed better than what the Suicide Squad started with.
Accurate. No, definitely. Like,
so that's why I'm giving them. Plus, you have James Gunn coming on, who I have to assume is just like they threw, oh, disgraced Disney director, but you're really good. So we're just going to throw all of this money and F right the F off and just let you make your own thing. And then all of a sudden it comes up and it's just like he's actually secretly making Guardians 3. Zoe Saldana, Chris Pratt, they're all going to be signed on here in the next few months. Just like, wait a minute.
Hold on a second. I'd be fine with that. That means we get Guardians 3 early. But yeah, no, like this is the problem is like Shazam was good despite the fact that they put him in a muscle suit.
Mm-hmm.
After like watching them put Zachary Levi in a muscle suit, like I don't question anything that they're gonna do, or I don't take anything that they're gonna do as a given.
I'm gonna counter that with Killer Croc in the first one, that won them an Oscar,
which confuses me. Killer Croc looked dumb.
I'm excited for that movie name, The Suicide Squad. The Suicide Squad. You know what it really is.
I don't understand how Killer Croc won them anything because I thought the best because they got best costumes.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was specifically for Killer Croc.
Well, I mean, it was Jared Leto face tattoos and Margot Robbie's booty shorts.
Margot Robbie's booty shorts alone probably won them the award.
Mm-hmm. That and all the money they paid for it because the Oscars are a joke.
Oh, that too. They pay a lot of money to win those awards.
They had all that extra money they didn't think they were going to get. And they were like, wait a minute, let's tack on here.
Let's see if we can win an Oscar. They won an Oscar and two Razzies.
Yeah, to pay anything for the Razzies. Those were on the house.
Those were on the house. But anyway, moving on here. Spider-Man Far From Home. So if you haven't seen Endgame, do not watch this trailer. Go watch Endgame.
Listen to Tom Holland.
Tom Holland's, and I love that. They got Tom Holland for the intro of this trailer to say, like, hey, guys, in his very British accent. Like, go watch the movie. Do not watch this until you have watched the movie. And, yeah, no, for good reason. Because, like, we were all here worried when we found out that Far From Home was confirmed to be post-Endgame. We were a little worried that they were just going to kind of pretend none of that happened. And they were just going to really gloss over it. The trailer has confirmed that they're not going to gloss over anything.
I'm really happy we were wrong about that.
Same. I did not want this movie just to gloss over everything.
I love the idea that this is kind of the epilogue to Endgame.
Yes. Yeah,
like, this is just going to be the bow on top to just finish up the entire thing. And
yep. Because they've confirmed that this is the end of Phase 3, is Spider-Man Far From Home, which, perfect. That's what it should be. Endgame plays a very critical role. It's Endgame is basically the plot for Spider-Man.
It's the setting. It clearly is telling its own story.
It's the linchpin.
None of the plot line of Spider-Man exists without Endgame's stuff.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah.
So we got to see a lot more Mysterio though, or Beck, I guess is what we're calling him.
I love the idea that. And someone on Twitter, one of the comedians I follow on Twitter, put it absolutely perfectly, of Spider-Man is fighting Mysterio, who is a villain known for his trickery, lies, and ways of deceit. I'm from a multiverse. I immediately believe this.
Every comic fan?
Yeah. It's just like every movie is just like, I immediately accept this with no questions, with no reservations. This is clearly what they're doing.
Because I do really feel like, because I thought like, all right, surely, because in the group chat, obviously, we were all like, yes, Mysterio was lying. Mm-hmm. That's obvious to everyone else, right? Yeah. And then I see like the social media reaction and the internet in general is like, oh my God, multiverse, we're doing multiverse, confirmed. Multiverse confirmed. This is how we're getting Fantastic Four and X-Men. I'm like,
and people, it could be. And it could be.
It could be. But folks, this is Mysterio.
Yeah.
We got fishbowl head and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like this isn't a character loosely based on Mysterio. Like,
picked a really bad time to start collecting those movie figures because the Mysterio one coming out is sweet.
I believe it.
I'll pull a picture up.
Mysterio looks awesome.
They could have given us just like the dumbest thing, but as long as it's just a fishbowl head, I will be happy.
And it's straight up like, because obviously the costume always looked kind of goofy. The fishbowl head, surprisingly least goofy part of Mysterio's costume.
Mm-hmm.
And this version of Mysterio, we got to see Jake in the costume and everything. And it's straight up like a combination, like if an Asgardian became Sorcerer Supreme, like throw that with a fishbowl head.
Yeah, but he also like, it also kind of runs with the theme that we've seen between like Iron Man and Ant-Man of just like someone making their own suit. Mm-hmm. Like I could see how a lot of that could be just like stuff that he's made himself. Like he's constructed his own suit.
Because I mean, he is an engineer. Like Mysterio is an engineer. So yeah, I could absolutely see that. I'm super hyped for this movie. We talked a little bit more about it on last episodes of The Hype Train. Posted that last Tuesday. Check that out. I'm super stoked for this movie.
And like, go back to what we talked about on like last week, where it's just like, man, I don't know if I'm going to get like excited for anything else Marvel now or like MCU now, because like Endgame was so satisfying of a conclusion. But now it's like, oh, but here's just a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, well, here's the dessert. So I will probably retake this stance again after Far From Home, where it's like, I don't know if I'm going to be excited for anything else until we get the Eternals trailer or the Shang-Chi trailer or whatever else they're...
Yeah, whatever else they're going to throw out there. Because we are going to get, I'm assuming they're doing this specifically because something is going to happen likely in Far From Home that's going to be a big impact on the Marvel Universe. Because Kevin Feige has now told us that Phase 4 films are going to be announced, or Phase 4 films are going to be announced in the summer, which likely means they're waiting to announce Phase 4 until all of Phase 3 is done, because presumably some kind of spoiler.
Right.
So we're going to get to, like, so something is likely going to happen at Far From Home, and then we'll get the next two movies. I say that the next two movies are almost certainly Black Panther 2 and, like, Captain Marvel 2 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, well, I guess
Doctor
beyond
Strange
that.
Too.
Yeah.
See, because, and I almost, like, I almost don't agree with you. I think that we're going to get, I think it's going to be more of a focus on the fallout of Endgame and wrapping up Phase 3 and not really doing anything to set up Phase 4. I think that's all going to come from the hype of, okay, so the first two movies coming out in 2020 of Phase 4 are Doctor Strange 2, which is what will set up the whole, like, the big build to whatever the next Avengers movie is in 5 years. And then you can either do maybe a new movie or maybe, like, Black Panther 2 or, like you said, Captain Marvel 2, something like that.
Yeah.
But I think that's where it's going to – I think that's where, like, this is the cutoff point. Like, all right, this is the bow on top. This is just dessert. Phase 3 is now finished. We've done this 11 years now. That's done. Now, here's where we're going to start building the excitement again.
Yep.
Back up.
Because we do know there are only going to be two Marvel movies in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
We found out from,
Cowards.
Like, yeah, right? Disney released their release schedule. There's a whole bunch of stuff on there. I'm not going to get into a whole bunch of it.
Mm-hmm. And like 90% of it is unnamed.
Yeah. A lot of it.
Unnamed franchise project here.
Yep. So yeah, like it, and even the Marvel projects are unnamed MCU movie
mm-hmm.
that we're getting in 2020. Like, it's unfortunate we're only getting two of them, but I know, like, that's the big news that people cared about. And like I said, there's a whole bunch of stuff about Pixar. There's they've added the Fox movies to the schedule, since obviously Disney's now putting those out. Which New Mutants is surprisingly on there,
delayed again.
Yeah. and will likely be delayed again.
Also officially confirmed that the Gambit movie is canceled.
Yeah. Yeah, Gambit's officially canceled. We're the last X-Men movies to come from Fox will be New Mutants and Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Which, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if New Mutants eventually gets canceled, even though they have, like, the entire thing filmed. Like, they have wrapped filming for this movie and have for a while.
Yeah.
But either way, we'll find out about those Phase 4 films in summer. And then, yeah, hopefully, I would like us to see a new property announced. But I could definitely see them waiting to do, like, the two we get in 2020 are going to be sequels to movies, like as you said, Doctor Strange 2, probably. And then, I don't know, Black Panther 2 sounds like the more realistic one to me.
Yeah.
Because we're getting Disney Plus shows with, we know Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is way out, because James Gunn is busy with the Suicide Squad. And we know, like, we're getting WandaVision and Disney Plus, as well as
Loki,
and then Bucky and Sam are all going to be Disney Plus shows. And maybe that's why we're only getting two, because in 2020 we're going to be getting
kind of push people towards that subscription for their MCU fix,
right?
Which again, I feel like those shows, none of those makes me think that that's going to have anything to do with Phase 4. Like, aside from maybe WandaVision. I could see them tying into, and then
I don't see how
Sam and Bucky.
Because I feel like those two shows in particular, I don't see how they wouldn't be Phase 4.
Mm-hmm.
Just because,
I mean, taking place in Phase 4, but not necessarily directly impacting anything that happens within the MCU Phase 4.
I see what you're saying.
I said that. I didn't say that as clearly as I should have, but
yeah, because obviously, like, the fact that Vision's going to be in there is kind of a big deal,
right?
Which I having now rewatched Infinity War, I'm like, I finally realized, I think, what people have realized for a while about Vision. We can talk about that after the show, but anyway, moving on though, we're also going to get three more Star Wars movies, but we're not going to get those starting until 2022. So we're not getting Star Wars movie next year, the year after. Like, Episode 9 will be the last one for a couple of years, though we are getting the Disney Plus shows.
Right.
So you'll be able to get your Star Wars fix in there, particularly The Mandalorian, which the more we see on that, the better that looks.
Yeah. And also these three movies that will be coming out will be their own trilogy. They're not necessarily going to be tied. These aren't going to be extensions of, like, 10, 11, 12. It's going to be a new saga, yeah,
because Episode 9 is supposed to conclude the Skywalker saga, is what they've been calling it now. Which I'm fine with. I'm fine with calling it that is. So yeah, we'll get three more Star Wars movies, like main movies, starting in 2022. James Cameron's Avatar series We got a little bit of update on that. Delayed once again. Looks like two has been delayed from 2020 to 2021. Three from 21 to 23. Four from 24 to 25. And five finally got a release date for December of 2027. All of those are December, by the way, mm-hmm. of those years. So, yeah, like, bold move, James Cameron. Just going to keep announcing that you've got four more movies on the way and just keep on pushing them back. Because I think, weren't we supposed to have two by now?
I don't know.
I say, Ace Avatar, is not the person to know. I don't know either.
Avatar is just, I don't care. I genuinely think that the only reason it made as much money as it did is because everyone hyped it up as like, this is the movie James Cameron took forever to make. Like, this is his magnum opus. Except the story wasn't. It was all just on the visual effects.
Yeah.
And if the second movie can't match that, then it's, which, and I don't see how it can.
I don't think it's,
and
like,
maybe they've, you know, they're working in some truly next gen stuff and it will be a cinematic, like, spectacle like the first one was. But I don't know. I do not care.
It's one of those, like, I don't even think, like, they are going to have to match it. Not only that, I think they're going to have to go over it because mm-hmm. it's one of those things, like, what we see now with the movies that are up there in, like, sales with Avatar, which, granted, it's still number one, isn't it?
Yeah.
As of right now.
It's like 300 million ahead right now.
Okay.
Endgame is almost certainly going to dethrone it.
I mean, yeah, we're less than a month out from release.
Oh, yeah, because, like, even last week, it was at 43 months is what Avatar made. Or, no, 43 weeks. Endgame made in 2 weeks what Avatar made in 43.
Yeah.
And Avatar also gets the bonus of, like, Titanic being re-released in theaters.
Yeah.
So it's got that adding on to it as well.
But it's one of those, like, what we get spoiled with now, yeah. like, they're going to have... Like what you said, literally next gen stuff they're gonna have to pull out, and I don't think that like these next movies are just gonna be. It's gonna be a diminishing return. Like they'll make money, but not.
Because I mean, Avatar looked phenomenal in 2008, 2009.
I'm pretty sure. I think I just checked that one recently.
Yeah, no, like Avatar, like that movie looked incredible in 2009, and I mean, like I haven't watched it since around then, mm-hmm. but I'm sure it still looks really good. But like when you compare it to. You know, the MCU stuff and, you know, that, like, they're easily on par, if not better, than Avatar.
Even, like, the most recent Star Wars stuff. Like, I don't like the movies as much, but, like, the...
The CG and stuff, like, all the
visual
effects. Yeah,
the last two Star Wars movies were gorgeous.
Which you would hope so, because, again, it's been 10 years
right.
yeah.
of technology coming out. Like, it should look... And don't get me wrong, like, I'm not... Like, the MCU has its graphical mistakes. And look at Infinity War and pretty much any time Mark Ruffalo Hulk. Like, that was... Kind of, I mean, rough. The at the end of the movie.
Oh, when
like
he
anytime
was,
anytime they were trying to talk.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Whenever he would like come out for a second, yeah. like he would and do the partial like, transformation.
Oh yikes!
Yeah, those look kind of bad.
And I'm not saying that, you know, so like again, like I just don't know if Avatar, because no one's favorite movie is Avatar because of the story. Like, that's just not a thing.
I mean, a lot of people do like the story a whole lot. It's just, it wasn't a unique story.
Right.
Like,
not
it's a story
no,
that it...
Not at all.
It's a story that's been told dozens of times before.
Right, except now this time it's pretty. So I'm curious to see if he decides to actually, like, really, really focus on story to get four more movies out of this.
Well, yeah, because the
or
idea...
Or if it is going to be... Because I think at a certain point, if you were releasing a series of movies with how expensive movies are... And especially when you add in like the extra costs of 3D and IMAX,
mm-hmm.
are people really going to want to spend that money 3 years in a row, which granted alternating years, for...
Yeah, I mean, they're coming out an odd number, 21, 23, yeah. 25, 27.
So like every other year, like are you going to want to plop down the $20?
I mean, it's really going to depend on how good Avatar 2 is.
And that's what I mean. Like, so if Avatar 2 is story-wise, but it was super pretty, like are you going to want to spend that $20... 2 years later to just be again for yeah. more pretty?
Because the idea is that even like back when they released the first Avatar movie, yeah, it was one of those things. This was James Cameron's thing that he had been wanting to do for years, but needed to wait for visual effects to catch up with his vision.
Mm-hmm.
That was the big hyping back then. And he had, he said from the beginning that he had five movies laid out.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, you know, he hasn't done anything with it in 10 years. But, yeah, they were all going to tell different stories because I think the quote way back when was Pandora's a big planet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't the only story we can... Like, the story of Jake or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
It was Jake.
Okay, cool. Lots of Jakes tonight. Anyway, this is the story that the first movie was the story about Jake. Mm-hmm. The next movie would be a story about a completely different tribe.
So it's going to be like an anthology.
Yeah.
You could probably get a little bit
plenty of mileage out of that. Yeah. Especially with, I'm sure there's going to be more stuff that interacting makes, with humans that, and stuff.
That but. Makes me way less critical of it, because if this was just a 5-movie saga following
the human that became an alien.
Yeah. Hard pass. Just rough.
I'm sure that he's going to be involved with the other stories. Yeah. Or at the very least, he's going to.
The actions of the first movie will affect the actions certain of the things second. That will make the second, you know, yeah.
Yeah, because I doubt they're all happening simultaneously or anything like that. I'm sure there would be a couple of them happening simultaneously. But the idea is that, yeah, there are a ton of different tribes, these aliens all over. I say aliens, like that's their planet, but.
Mm-hmm. This alien planet.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's a bunch of different, you know, tribes of creatures on their own planet.
Indigenous life forms.
There you go.
What if he totally swerves us and turns out Pandora is actually Borderlands Pandora?
That would make me so
this
happy.
Is just that one, would make me like the movies
this
more.
This is just the one spot of the planet we haven't seen from Borderlands 2.
Yeah, the spot that nobody wants to go to because those big things exist and they're real dangerous.
Mm-hmm. So, which considering
Tor don't have a gun to blow that up yet.
Everything else from aliens. So the second movie just opens with, hey there, princess. It's just Handsome Jack. Like, all right, I'm in. I take back everything I've said about this franchise.
Yep, sold, done, signed up for 5 movies. Let's do it. Come on. That's not going to happen. Orville has been renewed for a third season, the Orville, cool. Which I still maintain is the best Star Trek series.
Which is especially saying something because apparently the Star Trek series that's going now is really good.
Yeah, that's what Andrew keeps telling me because he's been getting into it. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things Star Trek has always missed me. I've never really been a big fan. Like my dad was a Star Trek super fan. Mm-hmm. I was always more of a Star Wars guy. But I just really, really like the Orville, and I'm really glad that it's getting a third season because Fox is pretty notorious for canceling good things. Though usually he cancels it for Seth MacFarlane stuff, and Seth MacFarlane is writing the Orville.
Oh, it sounds like he's getting 20 seasons.
He's getting every season that he wants, and that's fine because even this, like, season 2 has been incredible. Season 1 was amazing. And I'm enjoying the absolute crap out of season 2. I'm pumped about that. We're getting another season of The Orville, at least one more. And Detective Pikachu, I'm the only one at the table that saw it. So here's my review. A solid movie. The visual effects look really good until the Pokemon start interacting with people. As you watch this movie, it will become clear to you that while there is a lot of stuff in there for you as an adult listening to this, as a Pokemon fan, there's a lot of stuff in there to make you happy and get you to enjoy watching this movie. That said, you are not the target audience. So you just kind of have to go in the movie understanding that. And I'm sure a lot of people already knew mm-hmm. that they weren't the target audience for this film. Like it's for younger people.
This is a kid's movie, yeah. but it's a franchise that people our age and slightly older will just have a very, very strong connection to.
Yeah, exactly. This is meant for like, us that are now, you know, we grew up playing the Pokemon games, and now we have children. We can take, I say that.
This is like Zane Laney's wheelhouse.
Yeah, no, Zane Laney. This is, I'm sure you've already seen the movie, but this is for you. Mm-hmm. Like, a man that loves Pokemon, that has kids that he could take to watch Pokemon.
Yeah.
Or Mandy. Like, Mandy and Mikey are going to have an absolute blast watching this movie. And like I said, I enjoyed it. Like, I really did. The visual effects, like I said, any time that the Pokemon interact with people outside of like riding on their shoulders or something, like anytime the people interact with the Pokemon, not the other way around, mm-hmm. It looks weird. And that's just because like that's clearly not what they put their money, time, or attention toward.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they knew that, so they limit a lot of the interactions between people and Pokemon. But it still looks kind of off-putting. That said, seeing like a lot of the Pokemon rendered in live action was still really, really cool. And most of them looked really, really cool. I loved how Charizard looked. I love how Bulbasaur looked. Zane, there's a lot of Bulbasaur. So I'm sure, yeah, you're going to be real happy.
I'm going to pay a $10 ticket just to see a couple scenes with Bulbasaur in it.
You get a few minutes in there.
Oh, well, that's... charge me more then. Something I'm gonna go see it twice.
Pikachu looks great throughout the whole movie. Mewtwo is Mewtwo and Mr. Mime are both kind of jarring, but we already knew that from the trailers.
Right.
Because they're just, those guys look weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those, like, the trailers very much kind of doused the fire of desire that I was hoping for, of like, Pokemon should exist in the real world. Oh, that's what they would look like? Well.
Honestly, after watching this, I'm still like, because I thought that in the trailer too, mm-hmm. but then I was still like, nah, yeah, Pokemon should exist.
Once we are actually in the movie and everything kind of.
Mm-hmm. Except I know, like, the first time I saw a Beedrill, I would crap
my
pants.
Yeah, that's the other thing of just like, when you think of what some of these things are, just like, yep. Yeah, hard pass.
Because you don't see many of the really creepy Pokemon in this, mm-hmm. though you do see Gengar. He makes an appearance. I do not like what they did with Gengar, personally. But, yeah, he makes an appearance. But, yeah, he's about the creepiest one you see.
Design-wise or how they used him in the story?
Design-wise.
Okay.
Which is the bummer. Because they didn't really, like, I mean, I guess it's not a huge spoiler. They don't really use Gengar in the story much. He's he's just one of the cameo Pokemon.
Yeah, because there's a bunch of those.
There's a ton of cameo Pokemon.
Looking at the trailer, you could tell that.
Yeah.
That, yeah, there's no way that they're going to give all of these Pokemon, like, something to do meaningful in the story, because that would be a series of movies. That would be an MCU style.
And this is one of those, said, they also definitely concluded this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not going to be...
Nick Fury's not at the end.
No.
Wanting to talk to Detective Pikachu.
Oh, just Professor Oak?
The Smash Brothers initiative.
I definitely hope that they're going to do more movies in this universe, and I'm sure they will, because I'm sure it's making money. I haven't actually looked at the box office results, but I'd be surprised if it wasn't making money hand over fist, because it's Pokemon. And it's a solid movie. Like, I give this... And again, you have to go in this with this understanding. This is not for you. If you were an adult listening to this, this movie is not for you. You will be entertained by it if you're a big Pokemon fan, but this movie is not for you. That said, it's still a solid matinee, in my opinion. Like, watching it in theaters is definitely worth that matinee ticket. It's, like I said, it's a bit of a visual spectacle because the Pokemon look great outside of, again, those few interactions they have with people.
Looks like it did 21 million on Friday.
Do what?
Looks like it did 21 million on Friday.
That ain't a lot.
58 million domestically for the weekend. Endgame was the number one movie again for the third week in a row with 63 million. So Endgame's third weekend.
Tripled number. Detective Pikachu.
Didn't triple. That 21 million was only Friday.
Oh, okay.
No, 58 million is the projected. Domestic.
That's better.
Box office.
And it looked like it was budgeted at $150 million, so it doesn't have a huge hump to get over.
No, yeah. I'm sure, like, after a couple of weeks, like, because I think, like, this week people are still seeing Endgame. People are still seeing Endgame.
It barely scraped past the projected opening weekend, because it was expected to make 50 to 55, and it's looking like it's going to hit 58.
Oh, that's good. Because it's definitely worthwhile. Like, Ryan Reynolds knocks it out of the park. Justice Smith, I think, is the name of the kid.
It is.
Like, he does a great job. Like, it's a good movie. It's worth watching. Mm-hmm. It's just, like I said, the caveat is not for, like, it's not targeted towards adults. And that's very clear in the storytelling and the general, like, premise.
Yeah.
But it's still super fun.
We talked about it on the pre-show. And even though I have spoiled it for myself, just with what I predicted was going to happen, like, I will probably see it in theater, but I will definitely see Endgame in theater again before I
see
Detective Pikachu.
All right, this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Stop by there for all of your comic book needs, and you can also get a cup of coffee while you're there. Marvel is going to release Marvel Comics number 1000, and that's a weird numbering idea. They're celebrating, in the last 80 years, 1,000 chapters of Marvel, which also, like, nothing about the 1,000 adds up in any respect.
About to say, that doesn't sound correct.
Unless it's like when you add together all of the books that they've sold, like all of the different, not individual copies of each book, but like, okay, so we've gotten 68 issues of Spider-Man and 22 issues of Hulk. And like, if you started to add that up, but there's no way it's only 1,000.
Yeah, because like Spider-Man's over 800.
Yeah.
Like,
so unless you say like a story arc is one chapter. But even then, if you're doing all of that, that math does not add up.
Yeah, no, like there is no way that I can figure that this adds up unless they're talking about
within a certain time frame.
Maybe there's 1,000 story arcs. That sounds maybe low.
It does, doesn't it?
It still sounds super low.
That's super low.
When you're releasing like 20 issues of different books a week.
Maybe it's 1,000 crossover world-changing events.
Oh, that.
They're way over 1,000.
Like, oh, fair,
in 80 years. They hit that in the aughts.
Early, like, 01.
Yeah, no, I don't know. But regardless, this is going to be a cool book.
I mean, really, it's just, they're just like, oh, we got an idea to sell an 80-page something to someone for $10 a pop.
Which, honestly, they saw DC. DC's like, oh, they released Detective and Action 1000. We need to get a 1000 out there for something. Our closest book's only at like 900.
this is issue 1000. Issue what? Issue go F yourself. Because it's 1000.
You say that because like it's an 80-page giant, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're on Marvel 80 with their action figures. Promote. Oh, you're literally right there. Because
it's the 80th anniversary of Marvel.
Well, yeah.
Which is
cool. I don't get why you don't just claim, like, yeah, just make it it's an 80-page for 80 years with 80 teams. Just hit the 80.
Yeah.
You don't need to.
Because that's exactly what it is. It's an 80-page book. Each page is going to be devoted to a year of Marvel history. And each page is also going to have a different creative team. So they have 80 creative teams working on an 80-page book celebrating 80 years.
Which, hearing that description makes way more sense of it's all just single-page stories.
Yeah.
Like, it's all just, like, little one-page mini bites. Like, that's a coffee table book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's super cool. Like, I dig that. I thought, when you originally said that, I definitely thought you meant, like, it's one story with a different creative team working on each page.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, no, right, that's a terrible idea.
That's, like, way overly ambitious.
Yeah. But this makes so much more sense and sounds way more fun.
Yeah. No, this is going to be a really fun, really neat book. And I highly recommend checking out Villainous Grounds to get you a copy. Also, Alex Ross is doing the cover art, because Marvel's just been really all about Alex Ross and doing cover art, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, but I say,
it's always pretty.
You go to the pros.
And I mean, they've got some pretty stellar teams lined up. They've got basically every big writer that's worked with Marvel in the last while is going to be on a creative team for this, because, you know, they have 80 creative teams. Which is just nuts. That's so many people. Anyway, other bit of Marvel news. Patrick Gleason has signed an exclusive deal with Marvel.
Yeah, that was the thing I announced last week.
What?
The Patrick Gleason thing. I announced it last week because I found out as the show was going on. So I'm happy to see I was right on that one.
Huh. I don't remember that.
No, you
information
did.
That would have been cool to know during the pre-show.
It happened in the middle of the show.
No, today.
Yeah, but you didn't remind him on the pre-show that you talked about it last week.
Yeah, because then I wouldn't have talked about it today.
Fair enough, my bad.
Well, anyway, for people who don't listen to Dalton, because Dalton doesn't listen to anybody else, apparently, Patrick Gleason, signed a deal with Marvel, which is kind of a big deal. He did a lot of stuff for DC, including like Superman and Super Sons, a lot of action comics and stuff like that. Like, he's pretty heavily involved in DC and is a really good artist. So Marvel picking him up is kind of a big deal. He's also going to be taking Amazing Spider-Man from Ramos as the secondary artist. I'm sure they're going to have him on more stuff, but this is his first project, because Humberto Ramos has been doing, like, he's been kind of like splitting artwork with Ryan Otley. I think they've been like, they haven't been swapping arcs. They've just been like, Ramos will occasionally do a few issues. And Ramos is the one that's been on Spider-Man for a very long time. Ace is giggling about something.
It's wildly. I was trying to look on Reddit for details on something we're going to talk about later, and just there's a thing regarding the Pro Jared subreddit right now, because it totally turned its back on him. And essentially, it's a hey, if you upvote this picture of Danny DeVito, it'll forever be on the front page anytime someone comes to the subreddit before it gets locked.
I think I know what picture of Danny DeVito is going to be.
No, it's just a picture of Danny DeVito.
Oh, it's not a clip from It's Always Sunny?
No. It's literally just like it just makes me giggle because the subreddit turning on him is real funny to me. Because like it very easily could have gone the other way. And instead they are choosing to be like, oh no, you did a bad thing. So
you were kind of a piece of trash.
So we are removing you from your own subreddit, and now we're changing what the subreddit's for. before they just eventually lock it.
Yep.
And so now someone's just like, hey, upvote this, and it'll stay on the front page of it forever. It just that got me.
That really got me. All right, this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by Press Start to Join. You can, oh, that's fantastic. Just,
why is Gengar in the background?
Yeah, it's just a picture of him, but Gengar's in the background.
Anyway, Press Start to Join. You can find all of their content, including their social media and podcasts, at ps2jshow.com. Also, last Wednesday of every month is History of Gaming. The last one they did was for Dota, Defense of the Ancients, which, of course, was the predecessor to League of Legends. Now, also, you know, Dota 2 is a big deal. Here's the Storm. It kind of started
every other
the MOBA.
MOBA.
It was the old Warcraft 3 mods. That out. It's good stuff. These guys are really good at researching their stuff. They know what they're talking about. All right, so we got the PS4 State of Play. Showed off Predator, Final Fantasy VII, Medieval, and did they show off Ghost Recon in that, or was that
No, that
later?
Was me forget. No, that was before.
Before, okay.
Because they had their own, Ubisoft had their own launch announcement thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but...
And I don't know why, because, yeah, I completely... It's because it's like, oh, here's a big game reveal, and I just my brain automatically associated the State of Play with that.
No. All right, so I didn't watch the Predator trailer because I'm just... I know that game is going to be bad because why would they release a good Predator game and make me happy?
Oh, because this is the team that did the Jason Voorhees, like a group of 14 people made the Friday the 13th game.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of having a nobody... And they did that having already made a game, but then because they're just like, well, we'll go for the Friday the 13th license, but we'll never get it. But then they got it. And then they were being published by a very low tiered, like not bad publisher, but just like no one involved had the capability to deal with the massive influx of players that that game got.
Right.
Their publisher this time is Sony. So,
it's also super important to note that that Friday the 13th game was really good.
Like, it's the same style game. It's just clearly it's going to have way different mechanics and things like that.
Which means I'll play it. Like, I'm the only one at this table that played that game.
I played once or twice.
I played once or twice.
There was a couple months where that was what I was playing, and I really enjoyed it.
It's just that all-v-1 gameplay style. Like, I've never really been particularly interested in it.
Which, that's what this is going to be.
But, like, if I get to be the Predator, like, yeah, no, that's fine. I'll sign up. Like, I sign up. Dalton will buy it. Because reasons, and then I will wait until Dalton gets to be the Predator, and then I'll take his controller from him.
That is bullying. Like, that is the textbook definition of bullying.
I mean, I'm going to ask nicely first, but then you're going to turn me down.
That is going to, because I'm going to be like, it's the first time I got to be Predator, Jesse, F off. And then you're going to be like, yank, and I'm going to be like, yeah, but you're going to find like that sore spot on my lower back, and I'm going to owe you one. So
tickle you.
Yeah. No, don't throw that. We forgot about that.
I didn't.
Shut up.
No one actually forgot about that.
No one forgot about that.
We're just respecting your wishes.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
For now.
I guess I'll give you the controller that time.
No, I think like, could this game end up being a trash fire? Absolutely. I don't think, like I said, they got Sony backing them this time. Because, and again, it is a, like Greg Miller brought up a good point too of, this is also, it's a PS4 exclusive. So they don't have to worry about also fixing things and prioritizing things for other platforms.
Right.
They can put all of their focus on making a PS4 game. And again, with Sony backing them, like, this seems like it could be real awesome. Not my style of game. So I probably like won't get into it, but for the people who enjoy Predator, and because this is a genre of game that I feel like a Predator game really kind of could thrive in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes a lot of sense, especially like versus like Friday the 13th, where you're the counselors, where you really can't do anything.
But like, now you're actual, like, you know, you're soldiers.
You could be a soldier. Like, yeah, you will probably have like super limited resources to be able to do anything. But I don't know.
But yeah, no, like that it could be really, really neat.
It's like Hunter was talking about with I can't remember what game it was. But it's like, I very much look forward to watching people play this on YouTube and Twitch.
Fair.
That's a big part of the Friday the 13th community.
Mm-hmm.
So Final Fantasy VII was one of the other ones we got to see. We got to see a little bit of gameplay and a little bit more information on that. And I mean, this is where my nerd cred always takes a hit because I'm not into Final Fantasy.
It's pretty. I'm going to buy it.
I will admit that the everything we've seen for this Final Fantasy VII remake has looked gorgeous. And I might end up getting this one just because it does look really fun. And my understanding is that Final Fantasy VII has an absolutely awe-inspiring story. And the reason I haven't gone back to play it is because it has not aged well on the PlayStation 1, as with most other games on the PlayStation 1.
The only reason I played it was because a lot of those characters play a very good, like a bit pivotal part in Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. Fair. That's the only reason I've played it.
So yeah, no, like it looks really pretty.
We also got like no information on it other than more information coming next month.
It's still supposed to be episodic.
It's supposed to be episodic, and then we got, like I said, we got some gameplay.
Well, and he like they confirmed that it's going to continue to be episodic, and yeah, this is the first we've seen of anything from it since they announced it. Well, they announced it and they said this is who's working on it, but then they ended the partnership with who's working on it. So then there was that speculation of, okay, so did they just kind of step in and take over, or did they have to start like totally from scratch? Mm. So it's a...
Because they announced it years ago.
Like yeah, 15, it's been a, 14, yeah. 15.
Yeah, it's been a while. And then we also got to see a lot more gameplay and stuff. We got the official release date for the Medieval remake.
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
October 25th. That, watching the trailer, like rewatching the trailer, that's one where it's like, man, I wish PlayStation had a... They have PlayStation Now, mm-hmm. but I wish they had a deal like Game Pass where those games would get released on that platform and I could just download it.
Yeah.
Because that looks like a hell of a Game Pass game. Mm-hmm. But I can't see myself paying...
The full price or whatever full retail price.
Unless
price
it's like
40, be.
Like maybe if it's like 30, 40 bucks.
Which Sony has done before on some of those
Ratchet
kind of
and
games.
Ratchet and Clank, yeah. Crash Bandicoot, yeah. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but... Yeah, I don't, I'm just not, like, that's one where, like, when it goes on a PSN sale or something, I might end up picking up, depending on the reviews, but.
Because it does look fun.
Mm-hmm. It looks super pretty, too.
Yeah, that, too.
The free game this month for PlayStation
now,
is
What Remains of Edith Finch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I finally downloaded it.
So, yeah, go, like, throwback to a really old Nerd episode. Or
like,
Nerd
2 years
Up,
ago.
Nerd Up Presents, we had the developer for that game on air, and
Ian
it was,
Dallas,
yeah, Ian Dallas, mm-hmm.
yeah,
and it was really good. Like the game was super fun. That was a cool episode. Check that out, and I think we actually have a special section on the website for our episodes with special guests. So yeah, definitely check that out and check out the game. If you got PlayStation Plus, it's free.
Or download if you have Game Pass, it's also on Game Pass.
Yeah, it's super good too. Like it's
yeah, no, it'll only take you like 4 or 5 hours to knock out. And the story, I mean, you can keep replaying it because there's some stuff that you might miss or, like it's not a hard game to 100%, but, there's a lot of just cool, like stuff in it.
I made the mistake of finishing the game like minutes before we did the interview because it's an emotional tale.
It is. The story is so good. It's so good. Definitely check that out, guys. Mm-hmm. All right. So we also got the announcement for Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Mm-hmm. Which is going to be very similar to Ghost Recon Wildlands. Still going to have the 4-player co-op. If this bothers you, it will require a persistent internet connection. You will not be able to play this game offline at all.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. It'll also introduce a PvP mode of some kind. They haven't gone into detail on what that's going to be. But they did say that it will be out October 4th for PlayStation, Xbox One, and PC. Let's see. We also got EA Access has added 12 new Star Wars games. So EA Access slowly but surely becoming more and more worth the money. Mm-hmm. Granted, it's not expensive on PC anyway.
I still think part of it is, look, we put out Star Wars games. We've got more than three.
Check it out. Look at all these classic 12. Ones. 12.
Didn't it come to PS4 too, EA Access? Like, wasn't it not part of PS4, but now it can be?
Think it is yet.
There was some sort of I know there was some sort of EA PS4 announcement within the last 2 weeks.
I don't know. Yeah, go ahead and check that out. In the meantime, I'm not going to list all 12 games, but a couple of ones that I'm kind of excited about. Battlefront 2 is getting added to it, mm-hmm. Which, I mean, Battlefront 2, like the original Battlefront 2, which is important, was one of my favorite games for a while. Like, the game is just dumb amounts of fun.
Yeah.
Like, the new Battlefront 2 is, like, especially after they fixed a lot of the loot stuff, super-duper fun to play. Like, still a great Star Wars game now. Battlefront 2, though, the original one, was just phenomenal all around. Like, holy crap, I love that game. So that's really cool. They also added the Episode 1 pod racing game.
Hey!
Which, that was another game. We're talking about N64 games that we played a lot as kids. Pod Racer was definitely one of those ones for me.
My cousin Austin and I played that one a lot whenever I was over at his place.
I loved that game. I actually liked it more than Mario Kart on 64. That's a big deal.
EA Access is currently unavailable on PS4, but it will be added to the system in July.
Okay, cool.
So right now it was an Xbox exclusive.
Yeah, Xbox, and then obviously it's on service. PC. Yeah. And then, yeah, Rogue Squadron is another one that's just really cool that's getting added to it. So, yeah, if you missed out on some of these classic Star Wars games, I think one of the Jedi Knight games, like Jedi Academy, I want to say, is on there. And that's also just the Jedi Knight games were really good.
Rogue Squadron was the game that I remember going to my friend Derek's house, him booting up his N64, starting that, and thinking, oh, my God, how could games ever look better than this?
That game was super pretty.
At the time. Again, see the comments about Final Fantasy VII. Any of those like 3D style graphics just did not age well.
No. That's one of those things. Like, I still remember going back to Ocarina of Time. Whenever they remade that for the 3DS, I remember seeing it. Like, you know, this was supposed to be this big HD remake. Obviously, the 3DS had significantly more power than the N64 ever did. And I remember looking at it like, this looks exactly the same. And then I saw like Game Informer publish some side-by-sides, and I'm like, oh.
It looks exactly the same as how I remember it looking.
Right.
When I was like, a child.
It's like, I recognize Majora's Mask on the right. What are these potatoes on the left? Oh.
Your brain just like filled in the garbage.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely what happened. Because there were so many times when I was a kid, I was just like, this is the pinnacle of graphics. And I still remember like Beast Wars.
Oh, God. No, that looked horrible back then.
CG will never be better than this.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Beast Wars. It looked great. Back in the 90s.
I remember actively turning that one off.
Oh, no. I loved that.
Ironhide was a rhino. Yeah. So.
Yeah, he was. Anyway.
Optimus was a gorilla.
Apparently, I was a snob.
Clearly. Bumblebee was a cheetah.
God. Yeah, that was.
I forgot about that. What's your name? Bumblebee. What animal you want to be? That one.
Does he go fast?
Yes.
I will be Cheetor.
Jesus. Cheetor.
Optimus Primal was Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
So his name. And then Starscream was a raptor.
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't. I thought Megatron was a T-Rex.
Megatron is a T-Rex, and then I think, wasn't Starscream a raptor? And then he ended up, like, joining with
I'm not Google searching
that doesn't
it.
Sound right, but I'm going to look that up.
Because I know one of the Decepticons joined the, that's what they were called in Beast Wars.
Okay, I was about to say, sir.
I'm pretty sure anyway, I could be wrong.
Decepticons. It sounds like you're an old person trying to explain Transformers
to a young
person.
I know they're Decepticons in the actual Transformers, but yeah, I think they were Optobots and Decepticons.
Sure is, Uncle Jesse.
They were something different in Beast Wars, but I thought that's what it was. But either way, I thought it was Starscream was a raptor, and he ended up joining the good guys.
The Autobots? Brain.
Venator.
Waspinator!
Rhinox, Cheetor, Ravage. Oh.
Bumblebee wasn't Waspinator.
Nope. Bumblebee was Cheetor.
Jesus Christ.
Well, duh. Waspinator was a Decepticon. Idiot.
I'm doing a really good job of swearing right now. And not even at Asa, just at this bull-ass concept of a show that got happened.
Oh, it was so good. Like, I really,
Starscream
I need somebody to...
possesses Waspinator, what?
Jesus!
I need the show to be remade with, like, modern-day graphics engines.
Man, I miss Transformers so much.
Same.
Like, you know, as much as I'm in the action figure, like, aisle, every once in a while, I get the wild hair.
I always look and see, I always see stuff, and it's just like, yeah, Transformers are awesome. I want to go in on that.
But if you get the
big
one.
But then I don't because they're so expensive. And unless they have changed, and I can't imagine that quality has gotten better as companies try to drive down costs. But like every Transformer toy I always had was always super flimsy because you had so many moving parts.
Yeah, if you get.
That they always just like something popped off.
Especially like if you get the name brand Transformers toys, they were usually pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ever got like.
No, even the name brand ones because like, well, maybe it's just because how I played with them because I was always very careful with my toys because I knew I was lucky enough to get this. I'm not getting another one.
Yeah.
This is mine. There are no others like it. So I was very, very careful. But with the Transformers, there's so many moving parts that you are like, that's the fun of playing with them, mm-hmm. is I would
transforming them,
go back and forth until I didn't need the instruction manual to show me how to do it.
If you get the, and this is just because that's how, this is the person I am, the ones that are over $100, perfectly, like, great toys. But I'm not going to pay $100 for a new Transformer.
I don't know how much the ones we had when we were kids are. I mean, they're about...
They're like 25 to 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know they were, like, expensive, especially for the action us, figures yes, and stuff we yeah. got whenever we were kids.
Because I could get Undertaker for 10 bucks. I had a lot of Undertakers. Didn't have a lot of Transformers.
We didn't have very many. I had an Ironhide, and I had a Cheetor. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I may have had two more, and then I know I had a couple of Ninja Turtles ones.
I had a Bumblebee, and then I know that NASCAR had its own, like, cartoon on Fox, and I had all those cars.
Because Jake and I, like, Transformers were, like, I say they were our favorites. They probably were only because they were so, like, they were precious few versus the 35 Batman toys that we had.
Right.
They were all basically the same toy from the animated series with different outfits.
Right.
And then obviously the Ninja Turtles toys, which were all basically the same set of toys with slightly different outfits.
This is why I need Lindsay here tonight, because I'm like, now, like, talking about this, like, I really want to go watch something Transformers. Cartoon, not the Michael yeah. Bay abominations.
Wasn't
like,
the Nickelodeon Network Transformers show really good?
That's what I wanted to ask her. Be like, so if I wanted to watch something, like, where could I find something Transformers that's awesome?
Because I want to say MC said the Cartoon Network show was really good. And that's a guy that, like, I trust when it comes... Like, I don't know if he ever showed you his Transformers collection. Because mm-hmm. He got real into Transformers. Mm-hmm. He and I actually, when the sequel came out, drove up to St. Louis to watch that in IMAX. Because IMAX had an extra, like, 10 minutes of footage. So, yeah, he
you
and
just
I...
just needed more of that.
Yeah.
Transformers 2.
Yeah, listen. He and I had a great time.
It's the friends you make along the way, man.
Just... Yeah, watching the giant robot testicles on IMAX was totes worth it.
Robot testicles.
That was Transformers 2, wasn't it?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
I think so, because that was the last one I saw.
I'm trying to find these NASCAR toys now.
Yeah, because that was definitely one of those things. Like, me and MC left the theater. It's like, did they actually do a testicle joke with... They sure did, didn't they? That's something we just paid extra money to see, right?
And they were wrecking balls.
God. Just darn it.
Wrecking balls.
And
stop it. This is going to become the new tablet. Stop. I'm going to need you to cut it right there.
Clang, clang.
That just the hand motion that Asa did with that, I know you guys are listening to it, it's kind of funny, but you missed the hand motion, and now Dalton just absolutely, he can't breathe.
Oh my god, I can't.
I don't think I've seen him break this hard before.
We talk about breaking him, I think I killed him. Oh god, it was the clang clang.
The hand motion was really just the best part of it. He made like this ringing a bell kind of motion. Like, anyway, all right, folks. On that note, we're just gonna cut it off there. Clang clang is gonna cut it. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.